I made my way over to the body, my vision darkening at the edges, as if seen through a tube of foreboding clouds. I knelt down until I could reach the dead man, unclipping his torch and taking his night vision goggles. Kaweah had shot him blind, in near total darkness, and while the shot was a fraction low for my tastes, it had done the job. I remembered how, only a few hours earlier, I had watched him pump shots into the night, as if there was something there only he could see. "They did something to you and Dieterling," I said, clenching my teeth as I spoke, and hoping that I was comprehensible. "The ultras." "It's nothing to them," he said, his broad frame turning towards me like a wall. "They all have it. They live in nearly total darkness on their ships, so that they can bathe in the glories in the universe more easily, when they've left sunlight behind. Are you going to live, Tenner?" "If any of us do." I snapped the night vision goggles over my eyes and saw the room brighten in hues of choleric green. "There wasn't much blood loss, but I can't do anything about shock. That's bound to set in soon, and then I'm not going to be very much use to you. Get yourself a gun, something useful at close range. We'll go and see what damage we can do. Where's Dieterling?" "I don't know. Maybe he's dead." Automatically, barely having to think about it, I tugged a compact pistol from the rack, flicking its ammo cell to readiness and hearing the shrill whine as its condensers charged up. Geeta screamed from the next partition. Kaweah pushed through ahead of me and then stopped dead just beyond the drape. I nearly knocked him over, the stock of the Bosa rifle scuffing against the floor as I tried to approximate walking. I had no need for the goggles now, since the room was already lit by the tense glow lamp, which Geeta must have ignited. She was standing up in the middle of the space, clutching a dun-colored blanket around her. One of the attackers stood behind her, one hand drawing her head back by a clump of scalp hair, the other holding a wickedly serrated knife to the convex whiteness of her throat. She made no scream now. The only sounds she allowed herself were small and snatched, like someone choking. The man holding her had removed his helmet. He was not Ryvich, just some mildly competent thug who might have fought with or against me during the war, or against both sides. His face was lined, and his black hair was tied back in a topknot, like a samurai. He was not exactly grinning. The situation was too tense for that. But there was something in his expression which suggested he was enjoying it. "You can stop, or you can take a step closer," he said, his rough voice accentless and surprisingly reasonable. "Either way, I'm going to kill her. It's just a matter of time." "Your friend's dead," Kaweah said needlessly. "If you kill Geeta, I'll kill you as well. Except for every second she suffers, I'll make it an hour for you. How's that for generosity?" "Fuck you," the man said, and drew the blade across her throat. A caterpillar of blood formed beneath the track of the incision, but he had been careful not to draw too deeply. Good with his knife, I thought. How many ways had he practiced to cut with such precision? Geeta, to her credit, hardly flinched. "I've got a message for you," he said, lifting the blade slightly from her skin, so that the scarlet bloom on its edge was clearly visible. "It's from Argent Ryvich. Does that surprise you in any way? It shouldn't, because I understand you were expecting him. Only just not so soon." "The Ultras lied to us," Kaweah said. The man smiled now, but only briefly. The pleasure was all in his eyes, narrowed to ecstatic slits. I realized we were dealing with a psychopath and that his actions were essentially random. There was not going to be a negotiated settlement. "There are factions amongst them," the man said, "especially between crews. Orkanya lied to you.